This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Thank you for joining us. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. Here's Paul.
Macca, thank you. We're joined with our next guest now from Navina Sporoska, who's the co-convener from the Victorian Pride Lobby, who's going to be talking to us about the update on the IBAC report into the hares and hyenas incidents. Navina, good morning and welcome to SatMag again.
Good morning, Paul and Macca. It's great to be back.
Look, it's great to have you back. And look, we touched briefly on the IBAC report last week. It didn't really, from my reading of it, it didn't tell us a lot that we hadn't already discovered, because we actually had the Deputy Commissioner of IBAC on the show a while back. But what concerns me, Navina, is one, the acknowledgement that the officers in the critical incident response team breached Nick Demopoulos's rights under the Human Rights Charter. They didn't record properly the level of force they used. There were a number of other things that Victoria Police need to address, and that IBAC didn't actually interview Crusader and Roland, who were on site when this happened.
Right.
So feeding all that in, I'd love to hear your take on this.
And thanks again for giving us the opportunity to continue this conversation. And whenever we do discuss this, I think it's always important for us to mention that our thoughts and love go out to those who are involved in the incident. And this matter is currently before the court. So while we won't go into specifics, we're definitely discussing IBAC's published response. As always, we continue to support Nick's fundraiser and encourage those who can to buy a book from Hares and Hyenas.
Yes.
But as you said, this new report did not really tell us anything new. We do welcome the fact that IBAC will be preparing a special report to Parliament on police misconduct issues, and in particular, the risks associated with the CERT team. But really, we believe that important work needs to be done for IBAC to be more victim-centred, and hopefully this will mean that complainants will be better respected in the future. As you mentioned, the lobby as well is particularly concerned by the comments made by Hares and Hyenas that eyewitnesses who were non-police weren't involved in part of this investigation. And we feel that had IBAC done so, they really could have determined what was and what was not said when police entered the premises. And perhaps most importantly, given the witnesses an opportunity for their experiences to be incorporated into this investigation.
It seems to me that what we have here is that with IBAC, you know, if I work for a government instrumentality and I'm rorting contracts, they'll come after me like a freight train. Well, perhaps if it was V-Line, they'd come after me like a freight train, right? And it'd be all over the papers. It'd be all, you know, everything about me, every little bit. And, you know, that's good, you know, to stop corruptions in those areas. Does IBAC actually lack power to perhaps not investigate police, but to actually, you know, do they have power to recommend prosecutions? Because it seems to me that in some instances, some police are getting off very lightly as opposed to someone who's rorting a contract.
I think you've highlighted a really important issue, that is incidents like this and the ongoing LawyerX scandal show that the police oversight system in Victoria is broken and the government must act immediately to address these systemic issues. And what these systemic issues look like is a critical lack of funding, as called out by the Commissioner of IBAC, and for IVAC to be given far greater capacity to investigate serious police misconduct, which was highlighted in 2018 by a bipartisan parliamentary committee report, and the ability of IVAC to meet the growing demands and expectations that we and the parliament have in Victoria. So it's a really important question to pose to the government. How do we want IVAC to behave? How can it enforce these really important incidents when it perhaps does not have the capacity to do so?
Nevena, hi, it's Paul here. Just I interviewed Katie Miller, who was the Deputy Commissioner from IBAC on Saturday Magazine a while ago. And one of the critical questions we were levelling against Katie is we were asking her was about the identification of the officers as they entered the building. Now, the IBAC report, and she couldn't answer that question because she said at the time, didn't have the information. Now we've had the investigation and they know that the correct procedures were not followed. Why is it not a simple case that someone hasn't followed procedure? There's some disciplinary action against that individual.
Yeah, there's no downside to it, is there?
Why isn't that occurred, in your opinion?
Oh, it's a very difficult thing to say, and that's one that should have been answered in this investigation and perhaps will be brought before the courts. But another thing that really concerned me was a further comment that was put out by Hares and Hyenas, which said that Roland, Nick and I are always blown away that by the support of the community, it's precious to us. But what I would trade most of this support away for is a fair and reasonable IVAC investigation. And I think this is really getting to the heart of the issue that we're discussing there. Was this a fair and reasonable IVAC investigation? And if not, why not? This has had an incident that has been of critical community concern. Mm. And it just feels like so many questions remain unanswered.
One from a listener here who said, one of the things IVAC reported was that excessive force was not used. Well, you might want to tell that to Nick's shoulder. And that the incident was not racially or sexually motivated. Well, I think I'll let that one go to the keeper. IBAC has the power to investigate police. Just because we don't agree with the outcome, it doesn't mean it's a proper investigation. I think the point here is the investigation was compromised from the start because their power to investigate and their power to then apply sanctions, and the fact that they didn't speak to people who weren't central to this but were there.
The only eyewitnesses, Micah.
The only eyewitnesses who weren't police. The fact they didn't identify themselves, we believe. The fact that...
they used excessive force.
They used excessive force. And that IBAC has concerns about the critical incident response team, yet we have to wait potentially another 12 months for IBAC to make its report to the Parliament. Now, lots of politicians, Nevena, as you know, have been on record saying that IBAC, lacks teeth in this area, lacks resources. How do we fix this? How do we actually... Because if I was in a situation where I had an issue with the police, I have to be honest, I don't think I would go to IBAC. I don't think I'd bother.
And that is a critical issue for IBAC at the moment, that its integrity in the eyes of our community has been compromised, and that many feel that should they need to take a complaint to IBAC, no matter how serious it is, that they might not have the confidence to do so now. So I will mention that the lobby has been working constructively with IBAC since last year and will continue to be working with them to try and improve engagement with the LGBTIQA plus community. But there is a serious issue that needs to be solved there with our community. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen straight away, especially when we see headlines like no disciplinary action taken against police following Hares and Hyenas raid.
Yeah. Look, it's troubling. And, Joy as an organisation has engaged with IBAC and we've had a lot of correspondence back and forth.
Neville, it's a question for me. How do we help IBAC to get the teeth it needs to do the job? Where is the course of action that gets us to that point if we believe that the institution itself is struggling to fulfil its own obligations?
there is some lobbying to be done to the government, and there's also a report before government that's been tabled. The government said it would respond after the Lawyer X Royal Commission wrapped up. So I believe that there is some work that needs to be done there in responding to that. In that report are recommendations for strengthening IBAC. So really we need to be turning our attention to get the government to respond to it.
Yeah. And look, you know, we've been talking about this for a very long time. You know, the Deputy Commissioner, when she came on, to her credit, she came on and spoke with us. I'm still deeply dissatisfied with IBAC's response, with its report. Certainly, there's a lot of work that they need to do to regain confidence. A lot of it is around the parameters they have to work within, but I just feel that this investigation really, it might have taken a long time, but it leaves so many questions unanswered, and IBAC aren't really answering them.
I agree, and I also feel that, again, IBAC needs to do a lot of important work about becoming more victim-centred so that complainants can regain the trust and integrity and respect of the institution to take their complaints there in the future, because they are an incredibly important role in our democracy, you know, to examine misconduct and corruption among some of our most powerful institutions. Their role is critical, and they must be funded to do their work properly.
No, we totally agree with you, and thank you for all your lobbying work you're doing behind the scenes. It's a difficult task, and it's very sensitive, but on behalf of our community, thank you for all the great work you're doing. Sadly, we are out of time. I'm sure we'll come back to this topic again on Saturday Magazine in the coming months. But Nevena Spiroska, for co-convener of the Victorian Pride Lobby, thank you very much for joining us on Saturday Magazine this morning. Best of luck with your lobbying.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your work and continued advocacy on the issue. Bye.
Pleasure.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.